parents, if you could, I'd like for you to write this down. If your children are just even, if they're out of the home, you can still write this down, but it's Daniel 1:17. And this is what we pray. Kathy and I pray for your kids and for our kids. We've prayed this verse over our kids and seen great success with it. It's Daniel 1:17 and 20. And let me read this to you. In Daniel 1:17 it said, "And for these four children," talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Parents, if you start praying that for your kids, and in verse 20 it says, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them." Now, I'm not bragging over these kids, but God said this, okay? This is His word. Pray that over your kids. Kathy and I, we will continue to pray that over your children. We love these kids, and we want to see them grow up and serve God and do the best that they possibly can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for the older ones, I'd like for you to stay in today. I got a message for you after praise and worship to hone your skills. Amen? Amen. And I speak life. I say live in the name of Jesus. Live in the name of Jesus. Live. I speak life and I say live. The life of God. God wants to break that cycle of death and destruction. And I break it and I take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. Live the life that God purchased for you. I speak life in the name of Jesus. I say live in the abundance. Father, we thank You. We give You praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus, we receive insight, ideas, and concepts to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Him. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father. We thank You that we enjoy the results that Jesus enjoyed. We enjoy the results that Jesus enjoyed. We thank You, Lord. I thank You for these kids. I hear Your heart for these children, Father. For every one of them, I pray, Holy Ghost, Your conviction upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Your conviction, Your presence upon them, Lord. Father, if they don't know and understand what it means to have a relationship with You, Father, Lord, that they will understand and know that this morning. That they will understand. Holy Spirit, give them insight. Insight into a relationship with You. That they will know and that they will grab a hold, Father. Thank You. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank You and I praise You. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith has a voice, doesn't it? Faith has a voice. Doubt and unbelief has a voice, but faith has a voice also. The believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about moving into the doing. And you young people, you got rewards this morning for moving into the doing part, doing what God wants you to do. And I can tell you that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. And as long as we seek the Lord, and as long as your relationship with the Lord is strong, God will continue to reward you no matter what you do. In school, He'll reward you in school. As long as you stick with Him and you stick following the Holy Ghost, stick to His Word, God will reward you. As long as you continue following after Him, pursuing Him, God will reward you. God will reward you. Now, parents, I want to tell you something. Kathy and I spent literally thousands of dollars when our kids were growing up. We would take them to different conventions and everything. We invested. You got to make an investment into your children. You got to make an investment into your children. And it's not just money, but it's time. and it's taking time and praying over your kids and talking to them about the Word, making the Word a priority in your home. The Bible talks about it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, and 8, where it talks about taking the Word and writing it on your doorpost, talking about the Word when you get up, and talking about the Word when you go to bed. And I'll tell you what, it'll bring lasting results. It'll bring lasting results and great reward. Hallelujah. So how do we measure ourselves? This morning I want to talk about moving into the doing, and how do we measure ourselves to know exactly if we're on course. I'm going to give you some practical application on how to make sure that you know how to stay focused. Does anyone believe and know that the Word of God tells you exactly how to stay focused? And this is something that the Holy Ghost has shown me on how to stay focused and to get results. How many of you want results in here? You want results in your school. You want results any place. I'll show you how to get results. Because I'm all about getting results. And about seeing the Word of God come into fruition in my life and seeing the Word of God come into fruition in your life. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and I will keep this short, but if you will do this, this is very, very powerful. This is very powerful. We have moved into a time. Young people, God wants to use you for the kingdom of God. God wants to use you in these last days. And I want to read to you before I get into my message something out of John Lake's book that I saw, that we're seeing more and more of, and this is the time. It's not a time that we are moving into. We have moved into this time. We have moved into this time, and this is something that we have to get a hold of. And I'm going to read you a testimony in here out of John Lake's book of what happened. It's about Mr. and Mrs. Harry Lotz. They were holding their baby in their arms. The baby developed pus in the kidneys and was pronounced incurable by several physicians. The child was brought to the healing rooms. Reverend Lake laid his hands upon the child in prayer, and it was instantly healed. We have moved into that time when God wants to do something great in our lives and in your lives and in the believer's life. In the believer's life. Here's another one. Mr. Allen, he was a pastor of the Pentecostal mission, was dying of pellagra. And back then they had a little bit different names, but that was just some sort of vitamin deficiency. But they didn't understand it at that time, and it would cause your body to waste away. I saw pictures of it, and literally your skin and everything just starts turning color and starts falling off. But anyway, he was carried unconscious from the train. The men thought him to be dead and put him in the baggage room. He was instantly healed through the laying on of hands and prayer. His case is a matter of record by the government. The government had this, department or whatever that studied this in people. But they had it back then, and back in Spokane, back in this time, back in the early 20s, late teens, when John Lake was in Spokane, it was declared the healthiest city in the world at that time because of all the miracles, because of what God was doing. And we have stepped into that time again when God's Spirit is moving and God wants to use the young people. He wants to use everyone for this great move of His Spirit. This is nothing unusual. This should be the norm in our lives to see these things. Now, we're going to move into doing. Like I said before, we have talked about and we have taught here and we have taught here. Now it's time to go into the doing part of the Word. It's time to go into the doing part of the Word. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to give you some real quick instruction here on how to stay focused. If you don't have the right measuring tools, you'll never get there, right? If you try to build a house and you don't have the right tape measure, you won't get there, right? So God in His Word gives us really a tape measure to tell us how to stay focused so we can be in the doing part. Did you catch it? I had a little builder's square here, and this shows you how to make angles and different things. Got a little measuring device on it here, but you got to be able to use the tools that God gives you, the instruction that God gives you in order to stay focused and to stay on track of what He wants, right? And God wants us to stay on track. And here's a simple formula that God gave me out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many know that there's a race? How many have seen the race that's been set before you? How many have actually seen the race that's been set before you? Have you ever taken the time to look for the race that was set before you? Do you know what that race is all about? Does anyone know what that race is all about? What's that race about, Pastor David?
Winning the lost.
Seeing the works of Jesus. Just like you did just this here just last week. That's the race that's set before us. Right? Amen? That's the race. So it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, obtaining the promises of God. Because why does it say that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses? Those are the witnesses that did it before us. Those are the ones that obtained the promises of God, right? So it says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses to look to them for instruction and see how they did it, right? So we have a cloud of witnesses. And then the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. You know, there's things that you can get in your life that become weights and that can drag you down. Come on. There's things in your life that you can have and be doing that is simply a weight and a burden, and you have no business doing it and being involved with it. And it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, those things that have surrounded us, that have confused us into doing something other than staying focused on what God wants. And there it is. You need to go to the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, is there something in my life? Is there something I'm doing that I shouldn't be involved in? And it may not necessarily be wrong, but it may be something that's a burden and that's a weight that's keeping you from seeing the race that's set before you. Is there something you're involved with? It may be the local PTA. I don't know. Maybe God doesn't want you involved in that. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 2, who do we look to? We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Young people, let me tell you this. You need to keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where your success comes from. It's to focus in on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The reason He was able to finish the race, He knew what the joy was that was set before Him. Listen to me. There may be times that you may be going through that may be difficult and may be hard, but you've got your eyes off the joy that's set before you. So you got to be able to see. You got to be able to see the things that God has set before you. Now, how are we to run? How are we to run this race? We're to run it with faith, and we're to run it with patience. Right? We're to run it with patience. It says, let's run the race with patience. And we're to look at those that have gone before us, the great cloud of witnesses. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Now, do you think it matters what we look at? Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Young people, it matters what you look at. It matters what you look at. If you don't look to the Word of God every day, you're going to get off track and you won't know how to measure your progress. You won't know how to stay focused if you get out of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3. Now, I told you this won't be long. I can finish this up here real quick. This will not be long. Let me summarize where I've been so far. We got a cloud of witnesses. We can look to them. We can run with patience. That's how we're to run. We're to see that race that's set before us. Right? And we're to look to Jesus. We're to look to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3. I was reading through here, and I'm going to read it because I like this verse. Finally, my brethren, this is in part, but I like reading this verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I like that part. I had to read that because I like it. Now, Philippians chapter 3. Paul knew how to stay on track and he knew how to stay focused. Now listen to this. This is what he did. Starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So what was one of the things he did? He gave the priority to not what he knew, listen, but in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he gave the priority to. Okay? He said in verse 8, he said, "Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." So he wanted, his priority was to know, or was the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And this is someone that got results and that could stay focused. Now, verse 10, it says this, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death." So that's another thing that he did. That I may know him. He had an intense desire to know Christ. A very intense desire and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Then, in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that lay behind." So there's something else he did, was forgetting the past. And then in verse 14, he said, "I press toward the mark." So there was a diligence on his part of what he did. And then I want to draw your attention to verse 16, because it says, "Nevertheless," now listen carefully, and this is where it all comes right down to. In verse 16 it says, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." There it is right there. That word rule means the same measure. So if you're going to have success like Paul had, what the Lord's saying there is you're going to have to use the same measuring stick. Did you hear me? You're going to have to use the same measuring stick if you don't have results. And I'm going to tell you, this is a time we've moved into where God is expecting results in the believer's life. And I can prove it out of John chapter 15. God is looking for much fruit. He is looking for results. And here's the way to stay focused and to know whether or not you're on the right track or not. What did he do? You go back and you look. Here's what he did. He said, "I want to know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I forget those things that are behind, and I reach forward and I press on toward the mark or for the race that's set before him." God has called every one of us to something. And we have to understand and know what it takes and use the same measuring tool that he used in order to get there, to stay focused. Let me read that again. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule." So what does he tell him? Let us walk by the same measure that he measured. Let us walk the same way that he walked. Let us do the same thing that he did. If I have this square here, and I gave you one I made up, I can guarantee you that we'd come up with a different building. My building wouldn't be the same as your building. The Word of God tells us exactly here how to stay focused and how to get the results. Very simple. Very simple. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we have a great cloud of witnesses. They showed us how to do it. They walk by faith. They forgot those things that laid behind. You know, I just get a sensing sometimes that there's sometimes a lot of people struggle with those things that were in the past and just can't drop it and let it go and leave it. In Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. What is the number one thing there that I believe that sin is unforgiveness and offense. Unforgiveness and offense. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. I can tell you this one thing. Unforgiveness and offense is the number one thing that I see derail people more than anything. Where they cannot look to see what's more important in this life. And I kid you not, how many times I've heard, well, you know what so-and-so did to me? You know what so-and-so said to me? And it just plays like a recording over and over. And I say, you know what? I don't mean to sound not compassionate, but it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So what are we to do to stay focused? What are we to do to stay focused? Lord, I want to stay focused. I want to know, Father. I want to know. I want to know you. Young people, listen to me. You got to have a hunger and a desire to know Christ. And it's not just the young people. It's us too. We need to know Christ. And we need to look to the Word of God. And we need to look at those witnesses that God has provided for in His Word. They did it, and I guarantee you can do it. Let me tell you something here. If you're not getting any results in your prayer time, I'm going to tell you this. You've lost your focus. You've lost what's important in life. Let me tell you something again here, and I'll remind you. When did Job get his deliverance? When he prayed for his friends. He wasn't focused on himself. When he got his deliverance, he started praying for his friends. Now, if things are out of control and out of order in your life, in your home, or on your job, or whatever it is, there's one thing you're not measuring and using the same measuring stick. You're not using the right measuring stick. So God wants us to stay focused. He wants to see more of His power being demonstrated through His people. Amen? Now, one of the things that we're going to do this week, and I've been praying last week, is for opportunities to share the gospel with people. The opportunities are out there. That's important. That's important. There's the race that's set before us. God wants to demonstrate Himself strong to people, right? I must decrease and He must increase. So we're going to move into this doing. We are moved into this doing part of the Word. Say results. God is looking for results. And He wants to. It's not that God doesn't want to hear your prayers or answer your prayers. Is He wants to move us into a place of getting results when we pray. Amen? Josh, what would happen if you measured those yards with the wrong thing? You'd get some bad results, wouldn't you? You wouldn't give accurate estimates, right? So we got to start looking to the Word of God and saying, God, this is how you show me how to stay focused. And how to measure this, Father, to know that I know that I'm on track. So what are we going to do when we meet together next time? All this week we're going to be praying for, God, give us opportunity. God, show us opportunity. Show us opportunity. And one of the other things I want you to all pray and be in agreement for is Pastor David and Tina are leaving for Estonia here in a few weeks. I want you to pray for opportunity. That they will have opportunity to minister gospel to those people over there. That they will see blind eyes open. They will see the lame walk. They will see the supernatural. Amen? And we're believers here, right? And it says, them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I want you to be praying about that. I want you to be praying for opportunity. This is a time to move out. God is mobilizing His body. Amen? Now with our heads bowed, Father, I thank You for Your word today. And I thank You, Lord, that You have been more than enough in my life. And I know You're more than enough in other people's lives, Lord. But Lord, now I pray the Holy Spirit conviction, if there is anyone in here that doesn't know Christ and have a relationship with Jesus, if you'll just raise up your hand and I'll pray for you. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, now let me tell you something. You can live in a Christian home. You can go to church on Sunday. But yet you've never made the commitment to Jesus Christ. Shaking the preacher's hand, coming to church isn't going to save you. That's not going to save you. Only true repentance and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I desire for You to come into my life. I acknowledge You as Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin. Is there anyone in here? We're not here to embarrass you, that you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Anyone, any of you kids, you've never received Christ into your life. And you would like to receive Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Do not resist it. Anyone, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your word, Father. I pray, Lord, that everyone today not leave and without knowing You. And Father, I believe that You're drawing and pulling us into a place, Father, that is pleasing to You in all things. Lord, we praise You and thank You for Your word today. Thank You for Your presence and thank You for this church, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.